Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2 minutes after 1 a.m. here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Lukey.
It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call on the heels of the Yankees' worst loss of the year, which, look, it's a bummer because the Rays won tonight. The Yankees have had a lot of momentum here. They've been playing good baseball. They've been playing gritty, gutsy baseball. In a lot of ways, the Yankee team we have seen as of late is not the Yankee team we have seen in years past under Aaron Boone. And I think Aaron Boone has done a tremendous job this year, considering all the hurdles and the injuries and the obstacles. But Aaron Boone can't help himself. He can't help himself because tonight was bad, real bad. And it was sort of exclamation pointed by Ollie Sanchez doing something that he should have never done, and that is throw the ball to third base to try to get the final out of the game. Should never have done that. And Aaron Boone had an opportunity to hold this player accountable and make an example out of Ollie Sanchez, because Ollie Sanchez is not going to be here in a week. So it's the perfect guy to do it to. And I think it serves sort of two purposes. Number one, it shows the other players on the team, hey, listen, if we do something that is ill-advised, something that is dumb, our manager is going to not even necessarily overly criticize us, but just say, hey, listen, something you shouldn't have done. It cost us the game. We'll move on. We'll be better. And then the other thing is it shows the audience, the fan base, that Aaron Boone is not a coddler and that this isn't a country club and that Aaron Boone is going to defend his players no matter what. So we have a psychiatrist on the line. And he's called before, but usually it's to put me on the couch, which I appreciate at times. Sometimes you need a little bit of a therapy session. He is on the line right now, but it's not for me. The therapist, the shrink, Doc, he wants to analyze Aaron Boone. And obviously Aaron's not with us here, but we do have the clip, and we've played it a couple times. We're going to play it for you again here because the therapist is going to break down said clip with the therapist cap on. Here is Aaron Boone after the game being asked about Ollie Sanchez's decision to throw the ball to third.
Would you have liked to have seen Sanchez hold the ball there instead of trying to throw the runner out?
Just got to have a good throw. Just playing catch. So we're big leaguers and we're not going to not do things. So, you know, obviously an option's hold it. But, you know, it comes down to, you know, just playing. We got to play catch better there.
Right. We're big leaguers and we're obviously not going to do things or do things or whatever the line was. That's a, you slap that on a t-shirt, you slap that on a, do they still do bumper stickers anymore? A bumper sticker? Do they still do posters? Boy, am I really showing that I'm a 90s baby. Well, whatever it is that people, do they put this on TikTok anymore as a hashtag? That is one of those situations and one of those statements from Aaron Boone that just, they make you want to pull your hair out. Just when things were going along smoothly, swimmingly, Aaron Boone had himself a day. Because he not only said that, but before the game, he's getting all testy with reporters because they're asking him about Stanton. Well, gee, Aaron, The guy has been out since the Knicks were in the first round of the playoffs. And you yourself on John Boy's on Talking Yanks podcast a week ago, when everybody basically assumed Stanton wasn't coming back this summer, you said, well, hold on a second. Stanton's doing well, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he's progressing, he's doing well, and he should be back at a reasonable amount of time. And then the next day, Aaron Boone says, well, there's no timetable for his return, and now this week he's getting mad at reporters for asking the question, basically saying, you could stop asking me. Once we know something, we'll know something. This is part of the quote. When it gets really close to like, okay, it's getting close to being a game or something, we'll let you know it's not there yet. Let's follow the bouncing ball here. For those of you that are married out there, and let's say you're going out on a Saturday night with your boys, right? You got a wife, maybe you got a couple kids, but this is a night out. This is one of your few times where you get to be young, wild, and free again, at least for a couple hours. At 11 o'clock at night, you've been out for a few hours. You call your wife at 11 o'clock and you say, honey, I should be back at a reasonable amount of time. And she says, okay, kids are asleep, but I'm going to stay up. I'm going to wait for you. You know, I like to make sure you come through the door so that everything's all right. And he goes, okay, no problem. I should be back at a reasonable amount of time. And then 2 hours later, you call her up and you say, listen, honey, there's no timetable for my return. She's like, what do you, excuse me? A couple hours ago, you said you'd be back at a reasonable time. It's 1 a.m. This seems pretty reasonable. He says, well, listen, there's no timetable for my return. And then 4 hours later, you call up and you say, listen, when it gets really close to like, okay, it's getting close to be when I'll be home or something, I'll let you know, but I'm not there yet. Buddy, you're going to be locked out of the house. I got news for you. And your stuff is going to be on the front lawn. So if you apply Aaron Boone speak to your everyday life, I think, first of all, that'd be a fun exercise, number one. And number two, it will even shine a bigger light on just how ridiculous some of the stuff that he says. And he's in a spot, we all know, that he sometimes has to say things, we know that. But I think in this, with the Stanton stuff, it's absolutely he has to kind of say what he has to say. But when it comes to Sanchez tonight, and the clip we just played for you a minute or so ago, that was an opportunity to hold a player that's not going to be here in a week accountable for a bad, bad, bad mental mistake. And Aaron Boone chose not to. Anywho, we have a therapist on the line, and Mark in Westchester is going to analyze and sort of break down Aaron Boone's comments on the Ali Sanchez throw that we all just heard. What do you got for us, Mark?
Well, at risk of you putting me on the couch, I think that's where we're going to wind up, and I'm ready for it. You know, speaking of someone who I want to say died when I saw Sanchez cock his arm and get ready to throw to third base, oh no. Nevertheless, here's what I think the psychiatrist's view is of this, and you don't have to be a psychiatrist to come up with this, but if you're not a psychiatrist, you probably immediately rule it out as being dumb. Everybody in the world knows that that was an awful play. It
Correct.
Was dumb, it was stupid, ill-advised is an understatement. Everybody knows it. And Sanchez is, we gotta believe, feeling like I don't want to say what. Plus, he knows that he's on borrowed time. He knows he's probably going to be gone. He's the lowest of the lowest that you can feel right now.
For sure.
And you mentioned, like, it would have been an opportunity for Boone to show the team that holding people accountable.
Yep. Not just the team, but also the fans. It's a way to show both parties that, listen, I hold my players accountable, and that's unacceptable, and we'll be better.
Well, I think it's more important what he shows the team. I think it would have been humanly cruel to say anything much different than what he did say. And it would, like, they know, the team knows Sanchez. They probably like him a lot.
What do you mean by cruel?
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think he had to go over the top and be critical, but I think he could have just said, hey, listen, it was a decision he shouldn't have made. Put the ball in your back pocket next time. We love Ali. He knows better. We all know better. We're going to move on. He could have given a typical sort of political answer, and nobody would have noticed it. We all would have brushed by it, and it wouldn't have been a thing. But by doing it and saying what he said, it becomes a story because it was just so utterly absurd how he just talked himself into a pretzel in order to defend this.
I hear you, and probably most people would agree with you, and maybe being a shrink, maybe I'm too sensitive about quote-unquote human feelings, but I say when a guy like that, when your teammate is feeling like, I don't want to say what, you appreciate it if the manager doesn't sink him lower.
Right, but I don't think you are right. Sinking him probably lower. I think in that spot you're not doing that, though, because it is so obvious that it was a bad decision for Aaron Boone to just point out that it was a bad decision and say, hey, we need to be better and move on. I don't think that is going to make Ali Sanchez feel any worse if the manager says that. Like, at the same time, they are professionals. They get paid to do this. When they make mistakes, you can hold them accountable and you can say, hey, you did something wrong there, both publicly and behind closed doors. I think that's okay. You don't have to necessarily coddle every player in every situation.
Well, it's one of these things you could argue it either way, and I do think most people would agree with you, and we wanted to hear Boone say something like that, but I'm telling you, if I'm the manager, I do what Boone did, and probably that's why I'm not a manager, I'm a psychiatrist.
Well, yeah, I don't know, maybe they should hire a psychiatrist to be the manager. You're looking at it from a view, and you have to understand something here. There is multiple ways that Boone could have went there in the sense of he could have went full board. Hey, listen, this has got to be. And that's why it's a little bit off topic here. But Don Mattingly was upset with Bryce Harper because he made a comment how the team needs to improve at the deadline. And Mattingly was not okay with that. I don't understand. I mean, Bryce Harper, it's good on Bryce Harper for speaking. And I'm defending Bryce Harper, which is just sickening. But I appreciate Bryce Harper saying something like that, or I would appreciate it more if I was a fan of the team or a part of the team. So I think it's okay sometimes to be outspoken, but that's a situation where you're being outspoken. You know, if Aaron Boone came into the microphone and said, hey, listen, our catchers suck. We need to make a major upgrade here. Brian Cashman doesn't know what the heck he's doing here. He's asleep at the wheel. So wake up, buddy, and do something here. Our catchers are awful. They're not major leaguers. That throw tonight was just absolutely asinine. What are they doing here? Forget the throw. I mean, just the decision alone was just idiotic. That's not what he did, and that's not what he was going to do. But the idea that you just give the player a free pass. And Ali Sanchez, after the game, I think, defended the decision. So it's one of those things where, so the player dictates what the man, so if the player says, hey, listen, I stand by the decision, then the manager just goes blindly to what the player said? And this is not Aaron Judge that you're following. All right, Aaron Judge, you know what? He's earned the benefit of the doubt. This is Ali Sanchez, a guy who's not going to be on the team in a week. That Aaron Boone podcast, after he's no longer the Yankee manager, that's going to be when he can finally actually just say some of these things that he wanted to say all these years, is going to be the best. It's going to be the best. Because, seriously, dude. And you have to hold these players more accountable. You have to. It's okay. Everyone will be there ready to go the next day and ready to go to sports war with you. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Sean joins us from Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's going on, Sean?
What's up, Louis? How are we doing tonight?
What's going on?
Well, all I could say is that loss just bit us in the butt. That's all I could say.
It's a tough one. And you know what, too, Sean? The fact that it had so many twists and turns, and it lasted so long, the game itself. And it seemed like the Yankees multiple times were going to win the game for them to lose the game, not only that, but to lose it in the manner that they lost it. And we're not even talking about because Aaron Boone made this play was bad enough, but Aaron Boone's comments made it 10 times worse. But there are other things you can point to, including Ben Rice in that spot where he's got to get a runner in there with one out in extras, and he wasn't able to do that. Or I don't know where Trent Grisham is playing in the final out or the final play of the game. He is way too deep in center field. I mean, that ball should not be dropping in front of him. So I don't know where he was defensively, and Trent Grisham has just been absolutely awful. I mean, he could easily just be cut at this point or sent somewhere packing. He's been dreadful. But there's a lot of things you can point to, but the Sanchez one is going to get a ton of attention because of the it was just one of those decisions you should not make, and then Aaron Boone rushes to his defense after the game.
Yeah, I heard that, and that was the most stupidest gibberish I've ever heard in my life.
It was gibberish. I mean, for Aaron Boone's standard, it was, well, we're major leaguers, we're going to do things, or we're major leaguers, we're not going to do things, or however he phrased it. It was something that just makes you go, what? What is he talking about?
Exactly, yeah.
It's like almost like a magician with sleight of hand, where he's like, all right, don't look over, you know, he tells you to look in one direction so that he can kind of do something with his left hand. So it's like, Aaron, come on, dude. Like, you could level with us in this spot. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, this, and now, like, not to mention, I also heard that, I'm not sure if you heard this, but Scooboo did his last start.
Well, it certainly had the makings of it, and now the Scooboo stuff is going to get louder and louder and louder here over the next couple of days. I mean, I saw a report that the Dodgers are more interested now. There was the stuff yesterday where the Yankees are, you know, everybody's going to be, who's in the mix is going to be interested here for Scooboo. But here's the thing, though. And I've talked about this a lot. The Yankees lost tonight and had nothing to do with their dominant starting pitcher. It had to do with not being able to execute at the end of the game defensively and not be able to get a big hit late in the game. And that has been the issue for this team for years. They have a bunch of guys in their lineup that shouldn't be on the team. And by adding Scooboo, it's going to, yeah, it's headlines and it's very sexy, and you block them from the Dodgers, and people are going to applaud the move and say Brian Cashman won the deadline, but it's not solving the problems on this team. In fact, it's adding to what is already a strength that doesn't need to be added to, in my opinion. And I've been saying that for weeks now, Sean. I know there are Yankee fans that want him, but Scooboo, but I don't see it as a fit, quite frankly. I think there are other things that the Yankees need to do to fix this team that will help them get over the hump and winning a championship.
Yeah, I mean, like, I understand, like, some want him, some don't want him. I mean, it all depends on, like, how they, like, view it. I mean, honestly, like, with this, what just happened tonight, it was just, like, everything was going so good, and then next thing you know, defensive, like, strategy issues just loomed in. Yeah. And then that disastrous thing play that out of nowhere by Sanchez. Like, as I listened to it, I was like thinking, like, what in the heck just happened?
Yeah, it was one of those ones, and we're gonna play for you coming up the reactions of Dave Sims. And Susan was in there a little bit as well. Just I think she might have gasped, which I don't blame her for that throw. We have Michael Kay's version, we have the White Sox version of it. I believe they're TV radio, one of the White Sox version. And then Aaron Boone's quote at the end of it. We're going to play that for you coming up in just a second, the montage of it, because we need to hear differing opinions. Because to me, when you react to something kind of live, that is your gut reaction. There's no time to think about it. There's no, or should I say this? Should I not say it? You know, you're going to just give your opinion and feedback on it right as it happens. And then we'll have Aaron, who had time to think about it, and then his answer to go along with that. But, Sean, I don't care if you're a Yankee fan, if you're a White Sox fan, if you're a Met fan, if you're a baseball, any fan, you see that play that Ali Sanchez made and that decision, and you are going to say that is the wrong thing to do. But yet, Aaron Boone didn't see it that way, or he publicly wouldn't admit that he didn't see it that way.
And I think the worst pick, the worst strategy he ever did is just send in Duvall. That was not the
Sean, the problem, well, you only had two options. It was Yarbrough or Duvall.
I mean, I would have sent in Yarbrough, honestly, because he's, I think, didn't he do pretty decent last
night? Yeah, but you're also thinking about him more if the game goes like a ton of extra innings and he's kind of more of a guy that can go, you know, multiple innings. Duval has some experience in high leverage spots, especially as a closer with the Giants. I think they were just trying to get a couple outs there from Duval. And look, it was pick your poison. Neither option is great, but I think that was... And listen, Duval did his job. I mean, Sanchez put him in a situation where Duval has got such a confidence issue right now. It's almost like Sanchez put him in a spot where he had to get an extra out, and Duval is just, you know, not capable of that. I mean, he could have even been worse there. That inning could have blown up. But when you have a guy like Duval on the mound, you have to be perfect behind him because he even threw the ball into the dirt, but Goldschmidt bailed him out. McMahon had a great play, but then Sanchez just had a massive brain fart, or whatever you want to call it, just an ill-advised throw.
Yeah, sometimes I call it brain farts or ill-advised throw. Yeah, I mean, like, he had to give him that get-out-of-jail-free card and for that mistake, and then, like, you know, he pays the price for it, which is, like, embarrassing. Yeah. That's what really has me, like...
Well, it was an embarrassing play, Sean. I appreciate the call, and it was just an embarrassing loss, and... You haven't seen a lot of that this year, but it's something that has been a thing for Aaron Boone-managed teams. And it's something that needs to be corrected. And at bare minimum, there needs to be accountability. Okay. We have heard from Aaron Boone on this. We are now going to play for you all the calls from tonight. So you're going to hear from Dave and Susan. You're going to hear from Kay. You're going to hear from the White Sox, their side of it. And then you're going to hear Aaron Boone at the end of this. So this is a montage of everybody reacting to Ali Sanchez's decision to throw the ball down to third base.
Throw down to third. Oh, no, it gets past. McMahon into left field. Tying run at five. That was so unnecessary. Trying to pick a guy off at third in the 11th inning with two outs. That was ill-advised, and that is the understatement of the month.
Wow.
That was not necessary.
Yankees got a little too aggressive now.
There's an example of getting a little too tricky.
You just got to have a good throw. Just playing catch. So we're big leaguers, and we're not going to not do things. You know, obviously an option's hold it, but, you know, it comes down to, you know, just playing, we got to play catch better there.
That was a White Sox TV, that was obviously, yes, with Kay, or it was on Amazon tonight, but, and then there was obviously Dave and Susan here on The Fan, and then of course Aaron Boone after the game, and we've played that Aaron Boone clip a lot for you tonight, because it's, in my opinion, a Mount Rushmore Aaron Boone quote. In his time here with the Yankees. And he's had some doozies. Now, he's got his go-tos. It's all right there in front of us. He's got a lot that he'll go to. And listen, it's 162. You're answering a lot of similar questions day in, day out. And the Yankee seasons kind of take on the same pattern every year. So you could basically set your watch to the questions that Aaron Boone is going to... And this is no fault of anybody asking the questions. It's just the reality of it because... They get off to a hot start. They have the Boone June swoon. They get hot at the end of the year. Stanton misses time. It's like the same stuff every year. There's a player that is on the team that probably shouldn't be on the team. He's got to defend that guy. He's got to defend Anthony Volpe. And it becomes just Groundhog's Day year in and year out. So I don't have a problem with the go-to stock answers sometimes just to get you through a 4, 5, 6-minute, 7-minute press conference to move on to the next duty that you have as manager. I don't think you have to sit there for 45 minutes and break down everything in the minutiae of a regular season baseball game. But there are certain games and certain losses and certain plays where you need to hold your players accountable and you need to have a better answer than the one that Aaron Boone gave. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Mitch joins us from Oceanport, New Jersey. What's up, Mitch?
Hey there, Loogie. Hey. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, this is Boone's track record going back to Gleyber Torres, Jazz Chisholm.
Yep.
You know, he has to be forced to do something, either, you know, if he has as much control over the roster and day-to-day stuff, you know, this is his MO, unfortunately, and he feels like he has to coddle these guys, and maybe because of, you know, his background as a player, that sort of thing. But it's never going to happen. He's never going to air the guys out or even say we have to do better there. He's just not inclined to do that. I don't, you know, that's, and for someone who was hired for his deal with players in clubhouse, I think he's a one note with these guys.
It's, yeah, really, I mean, but I mean, maybe it would have some type of negative trickle effect. Holly Sanchez is not going to be around much longer. He's not going to be a part of this team in a week because the Yankees are going to trade for a catcher any minute now. It's not like you're defending Volpe, who they still believe in. It's not like defending, you know, a superstar player, because in those spots, yeah, you can understand that to a degree. This is a guy, even all those years with Glaber, although it got ridiculous by the end, this is a player that is not going to be on the team in a week, and you had a golden opportunity to just say, hey, it wasn't the right decision, we need to be better, or whatever. You come up with a stock political answer and move on, and nobody would have even paid attention to it because it would have just been, oh, yeah, right, obviously, that was a bad move. But the fact that Aaron Boone went against the grain and he gave the contrarian opinion on it, it is now going to be a much bigger story for the next, even though, and now Boone's lucky there's a game this afternoon, so it'll probably won't go a 24-hour news cycle. But if there was no game, it would have been in the news all day.
Yeah, he's just tone deaf. I mean, you're spot on with that. I mean, he could have. I mean, this is a layup for him because we're begging for him to show, you know, acknowledging reality. I mean, everyone. I mean, listening to those calls was just, you know, unbelievable. Like, even, you know, you could argue that the Yankee announcers are somewhat Homer, but even then, they were just blown away.
No, everybody was great on the calls. Everybody was great on the calls, yeah. and I I think everybody is. That was great, yeah, and those calls were amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just acknowledging reality. I think he really, you know, doesn't want to acknowledge reality, or maybe it's something like it's a commentary on the roster, and he's afraid to say, like, this guy isn't going to be here. They're playing people out of position all the time. I know there's lots of injuries, but just, like, the defense needs to be tighter.
Yep.
And I'm always up in the air as to what Boone is responsible for as far as defense being prepared, mental mistakes, that sort of thing. Is it the players not having the right players on the roster? But if they're going to be there and you're going to put them in, they have to be ready to perform and know the situation, yep, and know when to eat the ball.
Yep, no doubt. I mean, that to me is rudimentary. That's ABC. That is just like basic fundamentals. Like, you cannot make that throw. That you just absolutely cannot do it. And I don't even think it's necessarily one of those things where he's just, you know, hey, they had a great defensive inning, you're trying to end the game. It was just a lapse in judgment or whatever. But yeah, it goes back to, like, we've seen this a lot with the Yankees over the years. And the only way I could explain it is it just feels like there's a lack of accountability. There's a laissez-faire sort of country club atmosphere, which, look, services them well in the regular season. They win a ton of games. But when you get to October, Mitch, as you know, things got to be a lot tighter. And if they're not tight, you're going to get bounced. And that's been the case in Aaron Boone's tenure as Yankee manager. And it was no, to me too, like the fact that when the Dodgers beat them, and then, and I know it was a lot of the scrubs that said it, but still, they were the guy, they were made fun of the Yankees basically for the lack of fundamentals, and Aaron Boone and the Yankees basically just took it and haven't changed much.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, you can make the analogy for the Knicks this season. The fact that they were playing tight games at the end, and they had, you know, they knew how to respond in close situations, and it's just like you're not seeing that with this team. And you can make the excuses with the injuries and playing people you don't want to, but it has to be a common thread of people being prepared to play. And I don't see it.
Yeah, maddening, yeah, I hear you. And whether it was Sanchez there, and look, the Yankees obviously are in dire need of a catcher. Explain to me what Trent Grisham was doing in center field at the end of the game. That ball bounced in front of him. Where is he playing? You can't be playing that deep. It's not no doubles defense. Trent Grisham needs to go. I mean, whether you cut him, whether you trade him, whatever you need to do to get him out of here, Trent Grisham has been absolutely awful. The contract, the money they're paying him, everything is just hideous with him. And you knew it, too. I mean, Trent Grisham had a career year last year. That's why he accepted the qualifying offer, because every team around Major League Baseball understood that. And Trent Grisham is an albatross on this team. He can't hit. I don't know what the heck he was doing in center field at the end of the game. I mean, you're playing basically no doubles defense. Let the ball bounce right in front of him. That's inexcusable. The offense has been awful. He's 2 for his last 40, something like that. He can't buy a hit. Trent Grisham needs to go. Whether you trade him, whether you cut, whatever the case may be. That's a situation where you just need to. And the Yankees, I feel like, used to do that. They would send players to basically, well, witness protection. And now it's, well, we got to hold on to everybody. And it's like, no, you don't. Trent Grisham shouldn't be here. You got to go trade for an outfielder. Joe Adell or George Springer would be amazing if you can get him. But Trent Grisham can't be on this roster in a week. He just can't. We have reached the point where it is time to move on from Trent Grisham. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. We'll get to your calls here in the final segment on the Yankees. We'll mix the Giants and Malik Nabers into the conversation just a little bit before we get out of here. Gordon Damer comes your way at 2 a.m. The phone number to join the conversation is 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer. The show is After Hours, right here on The Fan.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
136 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. What I saw from Malik Nabers today, or yesterday as it were, in the last 24 hours, what I saw from Malik Nabers leads me to believe that Malik Nabers is going to be ready for week one. And it has been a topic of conversation, even if it's been more background topic. Like, it's not been the main course of conversation here at WFAN. But it's a side dish. Not that Malik Nabers is a side dish, but, you know, it's football, and obviously we went through the Knicks and baseball season. Oh, and by the way, Malik Nabers, when do you think he's going to be back? Well, is it going to be week 7? Is it going to be week 3, 4? Is it going to be week 1? Is he going to go on the PUP list? And we found out, obviously, last week that Nabers is not going on the PUP list. And then we got to see him with our own eyes yesterday on the field, doing a little extra work with Jackson Dart after practice. Love that, by the way. And Nabers, to me, look like a guy that is going to play in week 1. I think the Giants are going to err on the side of caution, though. I think Nabers will be ready for week 1, and the Giants will err on the side of caution. And remember, they have the short week because they play... Actually, am I right on that? No, I'm wrong on that. You know what? Here's the thing. I'm terrible at math. Even when it comes to things of this nature, they don't have a short week going into week 2. That being said, I still don't think they are going to bring him back in the first 2 weeks. I'm leaning more towards week 3 at this point. So you get through the Cowboy game, you get through the Monday Night Football game against the Rams, and I think that's where you see Nabers. But everything that I saw today, and boy, was it awesome seeing... It was surreal and awesome seeing Beckham and Malik Nabers on the field at the same time running routes. Like, how crazy is that? That's almost like an alternate universe. I don't know how you could even dream of that even a couple of months ago, but that was reality today. And Beckham looked good too. Now, do I don't expect Odell to be the Odell of old. I don't, in both as far as his skill set and his personality. And even if this is just a fleeting moment of seeing the two of them out there and Odell just doesn't even make the team, you still got to see it for a little bit here. But by the way, I do expect Beckham to be on the team. They have a crowded wide receiver room, though. There's going to be really good players that get cut at wide receiver that are going to get picked up by teams once the Giants make their final roster decisions. But it was awesome seeing both of those guys out there. What wasn't awesome was seeing Ali Sanchez completely just blow the game for the Yankees and throw the ball into left field. And then you have Aaron Boone after the game defending the decision and being a little bit more critical of the throw. And it's like, well, no, the throw has nothing to do with it. The fact that it wasn't on a line to McMahon. It's more about the decision because Ryan McMahon, even if the throw was perfect, Ryan McMahon is not expecting it because why would he be expecting it? Boone had an opportunity to be critical of a player or at the very least hold his player accountable to send a message to his team and to the fans, and he decided not to do that. Let's head out to Rockland. Billy joins us. What's up, Billy?
Yeah, I got no problem with what Boone did because what he does on the outside to the press is different from what he's going to do behind closed doors in the clubhouse.
Now, you're 100% sure of that, though, Billy. And I think I wouldn't be 100% sure, but I'd be like maybe 50%.
Well, whatever, because Boone's responsibility is to his team, not to the press, not to the fans, is to get the team in behind to win games.
Yep.
Right? Be motivated. And he's an old school guy. His dad was a major league player.
Absolutely.
So that's how he rolls, all right? Secondly, how about the days like
But the things and the mistakes that the Yankees have made in October, you know, most famously in the World Series against the Dodgers, does this feel like a team to you that has a manager behind the scenes that is a hard ass?
These guys are professional players.
Okay, I'm a professional. Okay. Well, maybe some people don't think this. I'm a professional broadcaster, but I have bosses, right?
Yeah, but just because he's like not saying what you want to hear to the press.
No, it's not about what I want to hear.
It's not going out behind closed doors.
But why is it impossible for Aaron Boone in that spot to say, hey, listen, you should have made that throw, but we'll be better. What's
wrong
with that?
He's an old school guy.
What do you mean old school? Old school, you'd be ripping the players.
Old school means the press and the fans come second behind closed doors. No, what goes on in the locker room is more important.
But he didn't have to go in on Ali Sanchez. No one's saying he has to crush the player. But why can't he just say the obvious, and that is, yeah, the decision wasn't the right decision.
Because he's a different breed. He's an old school guy.
But I don't know what you're talking about when you say old school.
You're right. Exactly, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, because you don't think I'm old school, Billy?
It's a dividing line because the line divides between the clubhouse door. Okay?
Okay.
That's it.
I understand what happens
it's
behind
like a
closed doors. Okay,
it's like
Billy.
The Godfather.
How many? I know it's the Godfather. Never go against the family. Okay. All those things. I don't think any.
Yeah, exactly.
But Billy, nobody is saying that things happen differently behind the scenes that happen in front of the camera or vice versa. What we're saying here is why
you don't
can't
get
you?
It, man. You don't get it.
Yeah, you get it though,
get
right, Billy?
Fish.
Yeah. How about what?
I do. Yeah. Because
what do you get?
Why?
You're not making any sense here. Why can't
you're
Aaron Boone?
You don't get it. You just
why
don't get it.
What don't I get? Explain to me what I don't get.
Because he doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't owe you.
He doesn't owe the fans. He doesn't owe the fans something. He should just sit there and be dishonest.
The best way to win. The best way to win
is what?
Is to run the club. Run the club.
Okay. What has he won? What has he won? What has he won?
He won your pet. How about
what this lineup is, okay?
Why do you blame it Boone for when the
what
lineup stinks?
What has he won?
The lineup stinks, okay?
Oh, the lineup stinks. For tonight, who cost the Yankees the game? Why did they lose?
Because they made an error.
Then why can't the manager acknowledge that?
Because that's not how he rolls, okay?
That's not
how
he rolls.
He's an old school guy.
No, he's old school. Say what?
Yeah, you don't get it.
Explain it. Because if you repeat yourself one more time, I'm hanging up on you. Explain it. Do not say he's an old school guy and I don't get it. Just explain yourself more.
What goes? Okay, listen. What goes on behind closed doors?
Old school guy would rip him a new one, and you know it. Old school. Okay.
Okay.
Got it. Okay.
You don't.
You know, you're in the clubhouse. You know, you're old school. You're in the clubhouse. You know what's going on. You know Aaron Boone goes in there, and you're telling me he scolded Ali Sanchez. So then why not say it in front of the camera?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
If anything, it's the opposite of old school. It's new school. It's coddling.
Maybe it is, but I think it's an old school thing, okay?
Got it. All right, Billy. I think you're pulling my leg there a little bit, to be honest with you. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Tony joins us from New Haven. What's up, Tony?
I think Boone is a big injustice to the kids. The kids are supposed to learn from the pros. The Little League World Series kids know more about it than the Yankees.
Well, I mean, listen, I think that we've heard the two extremes here in the last calls here, but I there is a issue with this team sometimes with fundamentals, and there's definitely an issue when it comes to accountability. This has been a problem for years now, and we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but I do think when you have a layup situation in front of the media where all you have to say is, listen, it was the wrong thing to do, I know it, Ali Sanchez knows it, he will be better, we will be better. That's it. You give a political stock answer that these guys are coached up on before the games, and then you just move on. But instead, Aaron Boone gave what I thought was one of the most asinine things he's ever said as Yankee manager, which is saying a lot. But that's that comment that he made after the game about Ali Sanchez and his decision was absurd. We're major leaguers, and we just do things, and we need to have a better catch there, and one option is keeping the ball. And it's like, dude, seriously? That's absurd. It is. And all you had to do there was to just say, hey, listen, we got to be better, and that wasn't the right thing to do. And then move on. And nobody would have even paid, Tony, no one would have paid any mind to it because it would just been the right thing to say, and we would all moved on.
Let me bring you back 2 weeks. Chaz.
Yep.
He hit a high fly ball about 5 feet out of the infield. He was just about crawling to first base, and the ball dropped between three players, and then he started to run.
Mm. Well, look, I mean, that's an opportunity to, you know, pull the guy aside, perhaps, and be like, you got to hustle there a little bit more. And you have
they
to
pull him aside for a lot. They pull him aside for a lollipop.
Well, that's,
they don't pull him aside for not running.
Tony, I agree with you on that, because to me, the lollipop was a no biggie. Who cares if he's enjoying a lollipop? First of all, they're in the dugout. So what's the problem with enjoying it on the field? Now, it's unorthodox. You don't see it every day. But Aaron Boone had an issue with that. And then he doesn't have an issue with Ali Sanchez throwing the damn ball into left field when he should have ate it and put it in his back pocket. And I defended Jazz in that situation. And by the way, last night I was saying Aaron Boone is doing the best managerial job of his career this year. And by the way, both things can be true. Both things can be true. Aaron Boone has to be more, he has to be more, not critical, but he has to hold his players more accountable in public. He just has to. Let's head out to Cortland. Mike joins us. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Well, the Yankees lost because they shouldn't have even got to that point because they blew a 4-0 lead.
Right.
Late in the game.
Yep.
Look, you got a 150 hitting catcher. You got a Volpe who doesn't belong in the majors.
Grisham.
You got Grisham. Grisham stinks.
Yep.
You got a team that's got top-heavy pitching, and you're talking about getting Scooble, who you don't need.
Yep.
You got Judge, who's been out. This is the second lengthy time he's been out in the last 4 years,
mm-hmm.
And yep. Can't score one when he's not there. Okay, so that's just the
Stanton poor, obviously still been out since late April.
Right. Stanton. Now let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me propose something to you.
Yep.
Now we heard about the Lindor to the Yankees. What do you think about that? And how about that? I'm going to throw something wild out.
Okay.
Why not Bichette also? Bichette would rock. He would hit line drives out of Yankee Stadium right field like nothing. Okay?
Yeah,
and possibly,
by the way,
possibly,
what you're saying as far as fits, Mike, and I got to run, you're right. Lindor obviously would be a fit. Bichette would be a fit. Neither one are happening. Francisco Lindor is not getting traded. I saw a report out there today that and I keep hearing this. So the Mets would love to trade Francisco Lindor. Really? Why would they love to do that? He's one of the best players on the team. And he's not having a typical Francisco Lindor year, so you wouldn't be trading him at his maximum value, and you have to eat a lot of that contract. So I would not put the word love in front of wanting to trade Francisco Lindor. So I don't think they're trading him, nor would I. As far as Bo Bichette, I would like to see him opt in. Now, if Bo Bichette goes to them and says, hey, listen, I'm not going to opt in, then obviously the Mets need to move on from him. but I would like to see Bo Bichette in a Met uniform next year. The Fan Focus, it is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Aaron Boone needs to hold his players accountable publicly. None of us know what goes on behind the scenes, but we know and we can see what Aaron Boone does during a game and then what he says after the game. And what he said after this game about Ali Sanchez's decision to throw the ball down to third base is a Mount Rushmore, Aaron Boone, asinine comment after these games. Not just this year, but in Aaron Boone's tenure as Yankee manager. All Aaron had to say was, yep, it was the wrong decision. We love Ali as a player. We love him as a teammate. But he needed to put that ball in his back pocket. He shouldn't have thrown the ball down to third base. He needs to be better. He knows that. We need to be better. We know that. We're moving on. That's all. Stock answer, political answer, and everybody would have just been okay with it. But instead, Aaron Boone decides to coddle and defend one of his players. And this was a golden opportunity, a layup, to hold a player accountable that's not even going to be here in a week. It's not like you're going to crush Anthony Volpe, which we know they don't want to do. You're not going after one of the star players like an Aaron Judge or a Ben Rice or Bellinger or whoever. This is Ali Sanchez. This is a guy that's not going to be here in a week. And yet Aaron Boone decides to coddle the player and not hold his players accountable publicly. And it creates a country club laissez-faire atmosphere, which results in these type of decisions by the players on the field. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours, final segment here. Gordon Damer comes your way in just a few minutes. It was both surreal and awesome to see Odell Beckham Jr. and Malik Nabers on a football field together wearing giant uniforms and running routes. It was awesome. And listen, I don't expect Odell to be the player he once was. Nobody really is. But just to see him out there in a giant uniform, standing next to Malik Nabers, that's pretty awesome. And if we get an opportunity this season to see both of those guys on the field together, sort of linking the generations, Beckham, one of the great receivers in the history of the Giants franchise, Nabers, in my estimation, going to be one of the great receivers in the history of the Giants franchise, to have both of them on the team at the same time, both on the field at the same time, hopefully in the regular season, would be just sensational. Surreal, like an alternate universe, but a joy for all Giant fans of many generations here to enjoy that type of wide receiver play and wide receiver aura on the team. And as far as Nabers, I could see him coming back week one. Like, to me, he looked like a player today that could play in week one. He passed every eyeball test. He passed every test imaginable. He was working extra with Jackson Dart after practice. Malik Nabers looks like a guy that's ready for week one against the Cowboys. And I'd love to see him out there. I think the Giants are going to be cautious. I don't think they're going to play him in week one. I think they're going to be very careful with Malik Nabers. But everything that I saw from practice leads me to saying that Malik Nabers will be ready for week one against the Cowboys. But I think the Giants are going to err on the side of caution when it comes to Nabers because he's such a commodity to this team and they don't want to push it and do something that could obviously make Malik get injured again and then you lose him, hopefully not, but for the season. So I think the Giants are going to be very careful with that. But Malik Nabers looked every bit of a player that could be and should be, in theory, out there on the field week one against the Cowboys. Which is crazy. I mean, the fact that football is back, training camp is back, the preseason is literally around the corner. Now, preseason is not for everybody, certainly not for me. I watch it more of a, hey, don't get hurt. I know Beningo used to call it non-alcoholic beer. To me, it is whatever. But if you are starving for football, if you just want to see anything that resembles football, you are going to see that in a few short weeks. I believe the first preseason game for the Giants is the 15th of August, and the Jets, maybe it's the other way around. And one of them is the 17th, one of them is the 15th, I think. Something tells me the Jets are going undefeated in the preseason. Something just tells me that. Jets will be undefeated in the preseason. But we'll get more into the Jets tomorrow night or later on this evening. Giants, Mets, Yankees. We've got a full show coming up, 7 to 10 tomorrow. It will lead into a Giants sort of training camp production. So looking forward to that. My thanks to Fleegs. My thanks to Connor. Gordon Damer comes your way next. We will talk to you later on tonight, right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.